chill.
I wasn't like playing house at 2 o'clock this morning. But.
Praise God. So that was our one another time this week, and quite the time it was. So this morning's message is the gift of life. As you know, we are running headlong into the Christmas Day, the Christmas Eve Day. And we celebrate this time of year. And I think sometimes we kind of disconnect on what you might call secular history. There are world events in secular history, and then there are a lot of world events in biblical history. And so often we don't make the connection between the two of what's happening. So I wanted to kind of get us in that context, that space of time, with a little bit of a reminder, a little bit of a connection here. Back in 776 BC, that's when the first Olympic Games were held. In 753 BC, that's when Rome was born. Now, that might be surprising because we all think, well, Rome's been there forever. And Rome is critical in this this story of the Christ child coming. Remember that if Rome wasn't oppressing and ruling over Israel, a lot of things would have been different in that time when Jesus was born. In 740 BC, that's when Isaiah the prophet was prophesying. And he was doing that in the area of Israel, Palestine, in that area, 740 BC. Then as we move further closer towards the birth of Christ, we land at 551 BC. How many of you heard of Confucius? Confucius said. We did that.
I haven't been in high school.
But he was born, he's a real person, a real man. He was born, and he, like all men, died. And people ascribe to his teachings as their religion, their worldview. Buddha was also born as a man and died as a man. And his teachings have become a world religion, and many people ascribe to his teachings. He also died. As we move up towards 37 B.C., Herod the Great is now given reign over Israel on behalf of Rome. That's important to know because he'll factor prominently in our story here. And he and his sons and grandsons factor prominently in Christ's ministry in and out around Galilee and Jerusalem, Bethlehem. So, finally, we land at 0 BC, or 0 AD, if you will. And this is when our story takes place. This is the date that the Christ child birth was assigned. So, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, we're going to pick up on a particular thread of this Christmas story. As we said, Jesus is the gift of life. In John 10:10, Jesus tells us, "The thief comes to steal and destroy. But I have come to give you life abundantly." So in this scripture that Jesus is teaching us, we see two paradigms. One is taking, stealing, and destroying. And the other paradigm is the giving, the blessing. Are you there, Matthew 2?
Boom.
16 through 18. Then, when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its vicinity, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. Now, last week we talked a little bit about this event where Herod went out to kill the baby boys under two, primarily because he was trying to kill this Christ child. He was enraged. He was mad because the Magi tricked him. He had an agreement with the Magi. You go search for this Christ child and come back and tell me where he is, because, of course, I want to worship him. But he was lying. He was deceiving. And the angels had warned the Magi to take off out the back door. So they did, and he was mad. So just to be safe, he figured, I'll just kill every baby boy under 2 years old. So in verse 17, we hear about this lady Rachel in Ramah and weeping. And what is all that about? How does that come into this story at this particular time? Well, that's a quote from Jeremiah 31:15. Jeremiah was prophesying these very words. Ramah was a city that's several miles north of Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Remember, Bethlehem is the hometown of Joseph and Mary, where they had to go register, the house of David. So who's Rachel, and why is she weeping and mourning? And who is she weeping and mourning for? Rachel was the wife of Jacob. He was the favored wife of Jacob. And she was buried in and around Bethlehem. Jacob, remember, was renamed by God to Israel. Remember that? And so the boys that are being killed are all baby Jews from Israel. And so Rachel, who's the favored wife of Jacob Israel, is weeping except that she's dead already at this point. So we're wondering, what is this all about? Well, it's a figure of speech, much like we might say, well, if my dad could only see me now, he'd be rolling over in the grave. Well, it was symbolic that Rachel, the mother of many of the tribes in Joseph and Benjamin, those tribes of Israel, would be weeping. It was a dual prophecy, and this is the second part of it, and was fulfilled at this time. So that's where all of this connects. But I think that we so often just read through this, and it doesn't impact us. It doesn't just tear our heart out, because it just happened so long ago to someone else far away, right? But let's think about it. Imagine, just like here in Aspen Springs, if all of a sudden we saw a bunch of soldiers coming down the street, and they stopped across the street, and they yanked the one-year-old boy out of the hands of the mom and dad there and killed him. And you can imagine the noise and the commotion that would be going on. The mom and dad would not be wanting to let go of their baby child. And there would be screaming and yelling. And then after the baby was killed, the screaming, mourning, and yelling doesn't stop. I mean, we all would be the same way. We would be mourning, losing our baby child. And then they go down the street to the next house. And the same thing happens. And pretty soon, the whole neighborhood is in an uproar. Everybody's crying and screaming. They've lost their baby boy. And at that point, you have to imagine that the parents of the baby boys are wondering, why? Why is this happening? Why is the king coming and killing my baby boy? What did he do to you? They aren't aware that Herod is trying to kill the Christ child. And the Christ child's not even in town anymore. He's already left. The angel told Joseph in a dream, they're coming to kill your child. Get him out of here. Go to Egypt. So you can imagine the parents wondering, why? Why is this evil happening? They didn't know that this Christ child had been born, that the shepherds out in the field had been told by the angels singing hallelujah and sending them over to see the Christ child. They didn't know that the wise men had come. You know, this was all a quiet time. They didn't know that this Christ child had been born, the King of the Jews. And they had left. But this whole story, as ugly and troubling as it is, was part of this prophecy from Jeremiah. It had to happen. And the people in the houses who lost their baby child, their son, you know, they were not aware that this Christ child that Herod was pursuing would one day grow up and save their sons and daughters, that he would die and save their remaining sons and daughters, that he would walk on water, that he would calm the storm, that he came from heaven where he had been walking with angels. And this was God in the flesh. And the reason that they weren't aware of why the king was trying to kill their son was this Christ child that he was really trying to kill was an affront to his kingship, his personal power. It's a spiritual battle that's going on. In this time of year, this Christmas season, there's this taking and giving. Remember those two paradigms that we talked about? Satan is out there, and he's working to destroy our lives and steal things from us, steal our joy. And remember last week I was talking about how in this season, which should be joyful, we should be celebrating that there's a lot of misery that happens in people's lives. And remember I was saying that you're going to see these various things happen, you know, divorces are going to happen. Separations are going to happen. Violence is going to happen. Financial troubles are going to happen. And do you know, just this last week, those very things have happened to some people in this church, some people in this community, even, I haven't even told Adrian this, even our tenants. They got in a fight over their depression and PTSD, and the husband was taken to jail. And a restraining order was put on him. He has his 2-year-old baby. She has their older son. And where is he supposed to live? It's happening right during this Christmas season when it should be joyful. Satan is out there doing his best to wreak havoc, to destroy our lives. And we do not have to let him. Here's the sad part. Your neighbors, the people that live in the houses next to you, across the street and down the street, are living in the same ignorance that the people in Bethlehem were living in when Herod was killing their boys. They have not recognized that this season is about Christmas. Christ must. The Christ child come. And they put all of their emotion and their efforts into this Christmas day supposedly being one big happy day and opening presents. And yet, Satan sees that and he is out to steal their joy. So, in just the same way, if you could picture in your mind's eye in the spiritual realm, looking down your street, looking down your neighborhood, you would see houses of darkness. And you would see some houses where they're just bursting with light. Satan is going down the street. And wherever there's darkness, he's going in and wreaking havoc. When he comes to a house full of light, he can't get in. So he's going around the house, checking the doors and windows. And I'm just speaking spiritually. And if he doesn't find anything, he has to go on down the street. But if he sees a little window of darkness, there, he can get in. And I want to caution you, don't have that window of darkness during this season, because he's out there looking for a way to destroy. But even more so, my message is for us to be broken for our neighbors, the ones that are living in Negros, the ones that are living in those houses of darkness, that we should desire to bring light to them, to see their houses light up. And this is a season we can do that. Remember, we said that we have food boxes and frozen turkeys and toys and things to give out. Turn your heart's affection for this season towards your neighbors, towards those living in the darkness. As we read on in Scripture, back to verse 19 in Matthew 2. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead. So Herod the Great died. So it's the angel's telling Joseph and Mary, it's okay to come back. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee. And there came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. You know, we look at Joseph and Mary and this, the birth of the Christ child, we think, oh, what a happy story. Boy, they really had it easy. No. They had, the whole story starts with them having to leave their home while she's pregnant, go 90 miles south to Bethlehem, giving birth to a baby in a stable where animals live with the animals. There wasn't even room in the inn for them. And eventually after that, they had to leave and flee Herod and go farther south to another country, to Egypt. And then live there for a while, and then they come back, and they think they're coming back to Bethlehem or Jerusalem, and they find out they can't do that. They have to continue further north, and they land back at Nazareth where they started out just a few years earlier. That is not an easy start to life. We all have trials and tribulations ourselves. And what do? We whine and moan. God, why are you picking on me? But God has a plan, and he's taking us through it. And the question is, are we going to obey? Are we going to say, yes, Lord? Are we going to believe what he tells us? So what's up with going to Egypt? Why did the angel send them down to Egypt? Well, there's three or four different prophecies, and one of them is in Hosea 11, where he says, when Israel was a young child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. So, if somebody was reading out of their notes in our early service that there's hundreds of prophecies about the Christ child, starting from 1000 BC up to about 500 or 600 BC, and all of them, but just a few, were fulfilled on this very night where Jesus was born. Amazing. Mathematically, that's impossible. For all those things to happen. And they happened on this night. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, I have come to give you abundant life. Why is it that so many people, if not maybe the majority of people, say, okay, I'll take the thief. I'll take the thief. Give him to me. Let him steal, destroy. I want to live it up. I don't want to have to be accountable. I don't want to have to believe in this Christ child.
Because the thief promises more now. That's a quick and easy grab, but then it catches up to you.
Amen. Amen. Wisdom from a young man.
Imagine that.
He did listen to you.
Yeah. So, Satan's at work, and there's these two forces happening, and they're colliding, and unfortunately, we're the battlefield. So, don't let Satan get a toehold. Joseph and Mary's life was not a kumbaya moment. You know, they had a lot of struggles. And so don't feel like you're getting picked on. So what is the message? The message is that Jesus is God's gift of life to us. And with any gift, let's open it. What do you say? Let's just open it. Open it together. Many people will say, you know, I don't need God. Or, you know, just because you become a Christian doesn't mean everything's going to be all rosy. And I differ. I beg to differ, as they say. Because, yeah, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have trials and tribulations and circumstances that are troubling to us. But it does mean that we can take joy in knowing that we've got a Savior, we've got a King that will get us through those times. That He has been tempted and suffered in every way that we have, if not more so. Paul says in Hebrews, when somebody's complaining about suffering from sin, hey, you haven't even begun to shed blood yet. How much room do you have to complain? So what is this? You know, we kind of think of this baby Jesus during this week as a gift box, and we open it up, and there's so many gifts in there. What are some of the gifts that Jesus gives us? He gives us grace. He gives us mercy. He gives us joy. He gives us hope. Imagine living without hope. Oh. And there's hope found only in one person, right? Jesus?
Amen.
It's not the president. And Jesus fulfills all of the prophecies. He gives us encouragement. He gives us power. He gives us truth. And He gives us our eternal purpose for living. Every person in the world that's ever been born has that question. Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? They even made movies about it. And the answer is it's all found in this Christ child this morning. You know, somebody mentioned Pastor Dynamite earlier. I guess it was Adrian. And about a week ago, we got an email from him, and he said that pray for us because the Mai Tai Hindus are going around threatening to burn down churches that celebrate Christmas. And so I asked him this morning, what's up? What's an update? And he says this. In connection with the highway blockades in Manipur, the present crisis is turning very ugly now. Mai Tai Hindus have begun to attack Christian churches today. I got this morning. In a devilish act, Mai Tai mob attacked Manipur Baptist Convention, and I think that's the church I stayed in when I visited him. After threatening the Tankul Baptist Church in Imphal, that Sunday church services and Christmas celebration will not be allowed or else they will burn down the churches. In our opinion, the church has nothing to do with the blockades because in the church, there's every ethnic group. They are welcome. They come and they worship the Lord and they pray for the state. The present crisis is turning Mai Tai Hindus against Christians. Kindly pray for God's immediate intervention. Again, it's a spiritual battle of the devil trying to steal, destroy, and take versus God giving through the Christ child. So, Jesus is the gift of life, and I want to encourage each and every one of us to be a light bearer. And
burn, baby, burn.
Yeah, burn, baby, burn. The church is coming alongside and enabling each and every one of us to do this if you choose. We've got food boxes that need to be delivered. We've got frozen turkeys that need to be delivered, some toys, and some stuffed animals. And if you, in your mind's eye, can think of one of those neighbors, one of those houses that would be blessed if you were to go wish them a Merry Christmas and take them some food or a gift. Imagine the inroad. That's easy. I've never had anybody slam the door in my face when I brought up a food box. If I went up with my Bible, you know, my big old study Bible, yeah, I can slam them in the face all the time. Food, no. So it's very safe. If you want to take advantage of that and deliver that, there was a list of going around there somewhere where you can sign up and I'll help equip you with something. Otherwise, you can be here Wednesday morning and help pack the boxes and deliver them from the food pantry between
Pastor,
10 and 1. Yes, ma'am.
There was some confusion on this. It says food boxes to give away. So are we're signing up to give a food box away and not signing up for a food box,
right?
Okay.
To sign up for the food box list, we've been taking over the last week or two. We have that food
in
pantry.
The pantry.
So
okay.
You're already on that list. So, this Christmas season, just be thinking and praying about your street, your neighbors.
I have one child still to give away yet, and it would be most appropriate for a child about this tall and a girl. So, if you know someone that you can give that to, I would be happy to give it to you today.
We also have some Christmas cards up here that you can have and use to pass a greeting on to your neighbors. And we'll have those up here this morning and then on the food pantry on Wednesday.
On Tuesday at 4 o'clock, if any of the children want to come, we have a choice for them to wrap and give to a friend outside of the church.
Yeah, Tuesday at 4. So we're trying to encourage the kids and teach the kids to take a toy that they'd rather take home, instead wrap it, and go give it to a neighbor kid. Isn't that great?
Cool.
Yeah. So Tuesday at 4, bring the kids here.
And Saturday, the kids were looking at it. We didn't have the wrapping paper, but the one little girl chose a Christian book for a neighbor who doesn't know Jesus.
Any comments before we move on to prayer? All right, well, let's gather.